Now, I want to start with a question. Have you ever noticed how some moments in life seem to bring people together in a really powerful way?
Yes.
Good. It was a question, and there's an answer. Yes. Well, last week was one of those moments. Across the world, people gathered to celebrate Easter. And the day changed everything. As a matter of fact, it was interesting. And Paul and I have actually been having this conversation on and off during the week. And we've been having conversations with some other ministers around the place. And what we've noticed is that more people were at church over Easter than previous years. There's something significant about that. God is moving powerfully. See, Easter is a day that changed everything. Maybe you joined us here today. I mean, last week at Easter, at one of, you know, Thursday night or Good Friday or Easter Sunday, or maybe all of them, or maybe you had just noticed that certain buzz in the air of wanting more from what the world is offering. Either way, Easter is more than about chocolate. More than about bunnies hopping or whatever it might be, more than hot crust buns. It's the story of hope breaking into a world that desperately needs it. And, you know, the reading I wanted us to start with was that whole notion that this is following, the Acts of the Apostles is following the crucifixion of Jesus, the remembrance of what's going on and the witnesses that they had. Now, this is like our second part in our exploring of connected and inspired. I'm going to put up on the screen, this is a slide I had in the first one where we kind of explored what it is. First of all, you know, about a month back, I was exploring what it meant to be connected with God, to be inspired by Jesus and the Word of God in our lives and what that actually means for us. Today, I'm going to explore being connected with fellow believers and being inspired by our fellow believers and what that actually has for us. As we continue into our series, I want to talk about what happens when, after the hope that has been unleashed because of what Jesus has done, and what does it look like when people come together, not just as individuals seeking God, but as a community that is connected with each other and inspired by each other. Yes, we are inspired and connected with God. I'm going to just leave that there and let you hold on to that. If you want to catch up with that, that's on our website, and it's a message you can go back and listen to or watch and catch up with what that says and what it means for us to be a church that has that at its heart. But as a church, we also have something else as our heart, and we look back to what that early church has, and we want it for ourselves. A community that's connected with each other, that is inspired with each other. And it doesn't matter whether you're a regular here or you're just checking things out. This is a message for each and every one of us. Because deep down, we're all searching for some form of connection, aren't we? We're all searching for belonging, for a place where our story matters. I want to put something up on the screen for you. You know what? You're not meant to do life alone. Have you ever noticed that? You know, even for us most introverted people, I'll put myself in that category as an introverted person, even amongst us introverted people, we all know that we actually want to belong somewhere, that we want to be seen, we want to be understood, we want to be loved, we want to be connected with other people. Being introverted doesn't mean that you want to hide away from everybody. It just means that you get exhausted by people. But that doesn't mean you don't want to be connected with them as well. And you know what? It's not just a church thing to be connected, understood. It's a human thing. We want that for ourselves. And there's something that the Christian faith has right at the very beginning, doesn't it? And takes very seriously. Jesus shared with the disciples. He brought people close to him so that there were connections. The early church came together and they were connected together. The very first days of the church, which we hear in Acts, if you want to read about God moving powerfully through the church, read the book of Acts for yourselves. And this is what happened after Jesus rose from the dead and returned to heaven. In Acts 2, verses 32 to 47, we really read along with the very first community of Jesus' followers. And I'll just paraphrase it for you so that we can kind of hear that with a little bit of clarity. God has raised Jesus to life, and the community are witnesses to it all. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everything was filled with awe, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their houses and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. You know, what strikes me about this description is it's not a list of religious rules about what we should be doing. It's actually people of living out a real connection. Connection that they have with God, but a connection they have with fellow believers. There's a real sense of supporting each other and making sure that no one is actually left behind. Let me put it another way, and I've said this before. Christianity was never meant to be a solo sport. It's always a team activity, isn't it? So what I want to do today is I want to share some thoughts about Acts chapter 2, especially those verses that we've had about how we are connected and how we are inspired with our fellow believers in Christ. And I'm going to share with you five main points for this message. And the first is this, the power of shared faith. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an application for each point. Rather than wait till the end, go, here's what you need to do. On each of those points, I'm going to give you an application. So bear with me, follow with me. It'll be on the screen as well. So the first group of Christians that are here, we find in Acts, didn't just believe privately. They shared their faith. They told each other, we saw Jesus alive. Sharing of their simple story of what Jesus did. They shared their experience about the resurrection. And this was the foundation of their life together. And let me say this, not everyone believed right away. Some were skeptical. And I want to say today, that's exactly the same. But as they listened, as they saw the change in each other, the community continued to grow. The Holy Spirit was moving through them. They had powerful people who were sharing the good news of Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're not completely sure about what you believe. Let me tell you, that's okay. This is a place where you can actually ask questions. And one of the best things to do is being connected in a faith community where you don't have to have it all figured out, where you can ask those questions and people will support you and comfort you and share with you and help you. The application that you have is to take a step and share your journey. You know, this week, open up to somebody about where you are in your faith, even if you have doubts or questions. People actually want to hear the real story. And if you're confident in your belief, often to listen to someone else's story without judgment. Real connection begins when we are honest and willing to share with one another. There is power in a shared faith together. Acts says that they devoted themselves to learning, to relationships, to eating together, to prayer. Devoted doesn't actually mean that they were perfect or that they always felt like that they were perfect and had to do the perfect things. It means they chose to actually show up. Show up for one another. And let me say, in a world where it is easy to feel isolated, even in a crowd, this kind of devotion is powerful. I want to illustrate it with a story that I'm going to weave throughout the rest of the message. How many people either watched it as it was happening or on the news, the Artemis II splashdown yesterday? There's a few people. How many people have no idea what I am talking about? There you go. Artemis II, you haven't listened to any news at all, is the new rocket that they sent with four astronauts to go around the moon, and it safely returned yesterday. So let me delve into it. Artemis II, you know, is a mission. It's actually a huge step forward in our human space exploration. And let me say this, when it splashed down to Earth, it didn't just do it because of a single astronaut's effort. The successful return was the result of thousands of people working together, engineers, scientists, mission control, recovery team, communications, and even people who are surrounding the families of those astronauts with care and love. You know, the most dangerous part is that return to Earth and just sailing through the atmosphere once more. Everyone played a role. No one could have done it alone. And it was because of this product of shared effort, of shared expertise and shared responsibility that it was successful. Let me say, in the same way, the church is meant to be a team working together. No matter what gifts you have, no matter what temperament you have, it's not just for our benefit. It's for something bigger, the church. When we devote ourselves to each other, everyone wins. No one is left floating alone. See, the application out of this, of being devoted to community, is to commit to actually show up. Make a commitment to join a group, attend a gathering, or simply connect with someone regularly. Even if it's just once a month or over a coffee or whatever it might be, being present actually builds trust and it builds relationships. And if you're not sure where to start, just ask one, Rick or Paul or myself, ask somebody how you can get involved. It's actually being connected and inspired by our fellow believers. The early church took great care of each other. Let me be really honest. How many people are willing to sell a home and give all their money away? Nobody's got their hands up here. It's amazing, isn't it? But let me just say, you know, that's a really tall order. If here's what happened in the early church. If someone had need, someone else stepped in to help. It wasn't about charity. It was actually about family and about the family of God, the connected believers. Now, selling our properties and possessions might sound radical to us today, but the principle is simply, when you're connected with somebody, when you'll actually notice their need and you actually do something about it. That's sobering, isn't it? Do we notice when people don't turn up? Do we notice when people are quiet and aren't listening or have got other things on their mind? Do we notice when life isn't going well? There's lots of different ways about showing up in somebody's lives and being connected. Going back to Artemis II just for a moment, you know, when that, you know, the spacecraft splashed down, there were teams that were ready to pull the astronauts from the water. There were medical staff to check on them, friends and family waiting for them, people to secure everything. Everyone in the mission cared about the well-being of others. The church, when it's at its best, is like that. We are a group of people, we're a group of believers who look out for each other, who celebrate together, who carry each other's burdens. We share with one another. And the application, while it sounds simple, is profound. Notice a need, meet the need. Pay attention to people who are around you. Pay attention to people in our community of faith here, at work in our neighborhood. If someone is struggling, offer some practical help. A meal, a ride, help with a task, or just a listening ear. Small acts of generosity can make such a huge difference. And believe it or not, that's probably one of the things that attracted most people to come to that early church, was a community of believers that supported one another, that shared life together, that didn't let anybody drop through the cracks. Acts 2 says, you know, that they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There was joy, there was real joy in actually being together. You know, church, when we come together, are we joyful? That's a question. Okay, good. I've got an answer to that one. But let me say this. When we come together, we don't have to pretend to be somebody else. When we're here at worship, we don't have to be the happy Joe, hands in the air, raise kind of person. We bring who we are. We bring what's going on in our lives. It's about the authentic relationships. It's about the authentic worship. It's about that connection that is built through honesty and authenticity. Worship in itself is actually is a simple thing. It means actually responding to God with gratitude for what God has done. And we do it through songs and prayers and living our life with a thankful heart. But notice this in Acts, is that they worshipped together. If you ever sung a song in a concert, who's been to a concert? Have you ever sung the songs that they've sung together? Or for those that aren't necessarily into music or concerts, but maybe more sporting mad, have you ever gone to a football match, whatever code it is, and the team song comes on? Have you sung with that? You notice there's something powerful about at that shared experience. You might have had your hands in the pockets and everybody else is rousing up and suddenly you step up as well. Church is meant to be that kind of experience, that place where through our gratitude, through our hope, we build each other up and our worship just rises out of that. Our worship rises out of our community together. Our worship rises out of our praise of God above all things. So the application for this is to be real and celebrate together. Don't hide your struggles when we come to worship. Don't just put on the Sunday best and the Sunday face of and showing everybody that there's no problems. Share your joys. If there are joyful things happening, share that. But if there are challenges, find someone who you trust and share that. So often, you know, one of the practices that we have at this church, and we've been doing it for most of this year, is inviting people at the end of the service to come for a time of prayer. It's a time of when we share through prayer your joys or your struggles and ask God to be present in all of those. But it can be as simple as sharing in a meal or sharing, going for a walk together or text a word, a simple text of encouragement. Let's be real and celebrate together. And our fifth thing. Finally, Acts says, the Lord added to their numbers daily through those being saved. In other words, the way they loved each other, the way they cared for each other, drew others in. People saw something different and wanted to actually be a part of it. You might be here today because you're looking for that kind of community. Or you might be here because you've been hurt by the church in the past. Or you might even feel like an outsider. I want you to know the invitation is open. Just like the early church wasn't perfect, they argued, they made mistakes, but they were committed to each other. And above all, they were committed to God. And they were committed to God using them. So I want to say to you, invite someone in. If you've ever found encouragement or hope here in church, through your prayer life, through reading the scriptures, through worship, invite someone else to experience it as well. That could mean inviting a friend to a group, could mean sharing your story, it could be simply letting your kindness and love speak for itself. Our connection and care for others is often what draws people in. So what about us? You know what? You don't have to have it all together to belong here. Let me just put that out the front because Lord knows I don't. You don't have to know all the answers or even be sure where you stand with God. The invitation is to be connected with God. To be connected with God and God's people who are journeying along to find their deep connection with God as well. So here's a practical step. If you haven't already considered it, join a life group, a Bible study. You might be surprised at how much encouragement and inspiration you find. Just like Artemis 2, the team behind it, they accomplished far more together than they ever could do alone. So let's do far more together than we can ever do alone. Let's be a place where there is safety, where there is support, where there is encouragement, where there is care for others to thrive in life and faith. So let's be a community where no one drifts alone. Let's share our lives, our questions, our joys, our struggles. And just as the believers did, let's do what they did. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Let's do the same, church. And let's specifically be devoted to each other. Not perfectly, but authentically. And as we do, I believe we'll discover the kind of inspiration and connection that changes life. And will change our own life as well. Let's just pray, church. Oh, Lord God, your church, your early church, the early believers, they shared life together. They shared their experience of you, Lord. They shared their understanding. They shared their love. They shared their compassion. They shared their belongings. Our Lord God, today, we just ask that we may understand and we may reflect your love for our lives. May that become powerful and real in our lives. As our lives are opened, may we be connected with our fellow believers. May we be connected with one another in deep and meaningful ways. Our Lord, may we be inspired by your story. May we be inspired by our fellow believers. May words of encouragement, may prayers, may sharing the gospel, may reading your word provide inspiration into our lives. Oh Lord, we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. So next week we are actually going to be, you know, we're going to be hearing some stories of inspiration, and all in Sunday in the evening is a time of actually really coming and sharing together. Inspiration. So I want to encourage you to come along to that as well. And the week after, I'm going to share a little bit on our combined service on the Anzac Day long weekend. I'm going to share about how we can be connected and inspired with our community around us. So I want to encourage you to come along to the next couple of weeks of church. I want to encourage you to really step in and step up into your faith. And if you haven't already joined in a life group, if you haven't already joined in that, or you haven't actually gone, and men, if you haven't already signed up for the camp, that is a time of connection and inspiration. And I just want you to be inspired and connected with your fellow believers. To be kind of, you know, really be inspired and let your faith just really grow because of that experience. So let us just stand as the early church stood and worshiped God. Let us stand and worship God as well.